Across America, there are approximately 18.3 million children who live without a father in a home, comprising about 1 in 4 U.S. children. The United States has the highest rate of children living in a single-parent household of any nation in the world. About 80% of single-parent homes are led by single mothers. At a rate of 23% of children living with one parent and no other adults, the United States stands over 3 times the world average of 7% of children that are raised by one parent. For reference, the number stands at about 3% for China and 4% for India. My question is, what is happening in America? This is the Pierre Wilson Show. America First Policy Institute did a study that, if you've been following this issue, it's not shocking, but it's still disappointing to just see these numbers come out. Many of the numbers I just read to you a moment ago came from the study. For those of you guys who are not following this issue, which is the fact that we have such a high rate of single parents and single mothers, to be exact, in this country, way more than we've ever had. This is probably shocking to you, and this episode will probably be shocking to you. But if you are shocked by this, then you have to be living under a rock, because we've been trending this direction for a while, and it's almost being encouraged to trend further in this direction, where you see the nuclear family is under attack. This episode means a lot to me. It means a lot to me for multiple reasons, but one particular reason is I've just gone through a whirlwind of I don't even know what to describe it, honestly. Like, it's something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. For many of you guys know from previous episodes, or from my speeches that I've given around the country, or if you know me personally, you know how much my grandfather, my pop-pop, meant to me. He has been probably the single greatest inspiration in my life. That's physically here. Obviously, I'm a Christ follower, and God guides my steps. He orders my steps. But here, a physical person that's here, my pop-pop man, he's been he was he is the one that taught me so many life lessons that I apply today. And the way that I treat people, I look at my pop-pop, and I try to model myself after him. He loved people, he loved hard, he cared about you, whether he knew you for years or whether he had just met you. You couldn't tell half the time, because that was just the kind of person that he was. He really, really was one of those people that you come across and you're like, man, he just has a great heart. I used to tell people, like, if you could just spend 5 minutes, 5 minutes in a room with my pop-pop, I feel like you would be changed. Your whole life would be changed. You would absolutely come out of that room as a better person. But one of the things that he taught me, just, because I could spend a whole episode just on that alone, but one of the things that I took away from him was how to be a strong man. And that encompasses a lot of different things, right? Being a strong man for your family, being a man of God, being a great man that your job can depend on, being a great man as a friend to others, being a great man as an example to strangers or people you know, just being a great man overall. I took that away from him. Carrying yourself as a good. Now, I think, like all of us, we all had shortcomings throughout our life. There was definitely a period of my life where I didn't feel like I lived up to what my grandfather would expect of me, and I think we all had different points throughout our lives where we had, I guess you can call it, a rebellion stage, right? Where you didn't make the best decisions. You weren't really thinking straight. The funniest things about those times in your life is that you think that you are thinking straight, right? You think that you know it all. That's normally when that's typically how you can look at someone and tell they don't know anything, when they think they know it all. Because a person who has grown and mature realizes that you never really know it all. So, there was definitely points where I struggled, but I can honestly say today, the man that I'm becoming, the man that I've tried to be every day, I do my best to be what God has called me to be the man that I need to be for my family, for my friends, for my job, and a man that I feel like my pop-pop would be proud of. And we always have things to work towards. We're human, right? But I really feel like his impact has shown through me over the last couple of years, and it's ever shown through me before. And I'm just so grateful for the life lessons that he taught me. But when I look at these numbers and I look at the amount of families that are breaking apart, and I look at the things that you're seeing out here in our culture today, you have women who are yelling and screaming about, how strong and independent they are, almost like it's something that they're proud of. And I'm not saying you can't be proud to be a strong woman. What I am saying is that they're pushing it not to celebrate that they're making it through some type of hardship and they're coming out on the other side, but instead they're almost celebrating it like it's some type of reward to be a strong, independent woman. Like it's life's goal, it's life's achievement to be a strong, independent woman that's by yourself, a single, strong, independent. That shouldn't be the goal. It shouldn't be the goal to be a strong, independent, single woman. Okay, you should always strive to have a family, especially if you have children or you plan to have children. I think that kids are better in a home. In fact, the America First Policy Institute actually, as part of their study, they talked about this. They noted that children from fatherless homes fare far worse in metrics of overall well-being and mental and behavioral health. These children are often burdened with lower self-esteem than other children, and they do not understand why their fathers abandon them. That's fair. I mean, think about it. You're growing up and you're trying to figure out why your father's not here. You're looking around and you're probably seeing some kid up the street who has both parents, and you're like, where is my dad? I mean, that's fair. And this leads to a number of emotional problems like anxiety, social withdrawal, and depression. And it also leads to an increased risk of suicide and other forms of self-harm. Overall, America First Policy Institute noted that children from single parent families are twice as likely to suffer from mental health problems as those living with married parents. Research also suggests that high-risk children in single parent homes have nearly five times a greater of a chance of developing mood disorders than those in dual parent households. I mean, you think about this and you put this in perspective and you're like, this is setting a child up. This is essentially playing Russian roulette with a child's life. You're setting a child up for failure. It's almost like, how we try to teach our kids and we show them things to set them up for success. When you raise a child in a single family household, it's almost like you're setting them up for failure, and they have to work extra hard to try to reach success. That's not good. Folks, that's not good. That's not good. And in light of these stats, it is no surprise that 90% of all homeless and runaway children, 63% of teen suicides, and 85% of children and teens with behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. That is astonishing. And I'm not really surprised by a lot of metrics when it comes to the fatherlessness issue that we have in this country, but 90% of all homeless and runaway children, I mean, that surprised me. And again, I'm not really surprised, but I did not expect it to be that high. To me, that is a telltale sign. A telltale sign. That means that majority of children, overwhelming majority of children who have both parents in the home are at least not running away. I mean, that's a huge thing by itself, right? They're staying home. They're working out whatever issues or problems they have with their parents. They're working it out. But when you take away a parent out of their home, and in most situations, it's the father, because again, 80% of the single parent households are run by the mom. The child feels like they have no one else to turn to, or that goes back to that whole issue of them feeling abandoned, or why did my father leave me? Like, they feel alone. It feels like something is missing, and that's why they're running away. Something is missing. So society needs strong men. So we need to push back against this narrative on the left that it is okay to break up the nuclear family. I will never forget how Black Lives Matter scrubbed from their website that part of their goal was the destruction of a nuclear family. That was literally written on their website. I tell it to people today and their mouths drop. Black Lives Matter, one of their goals was the destruction of the nuclear family. Why do people want the nuclear family to be destroyed? Why does the left want the nuclear family to be destroyed? Why do you have people on the left trying to encourage children to change genders, to encourage young boys to become girls and girls to become boys and to make society confused? You got people who they have schools and teachers in schools nowadays who refuse to acknowledge what a child's gender is. They want everyone to be non-binary or whatever. Why is this happening? Why do we have a society that is pushing to break down a nuclear family and create chaos? I'll tell you why. Because a strong family is the biggest threat to the government. Let me repeat that again. A strong nuclear family is the biggest threat to the government. It is easier for the government to control the family if they can remove the father from the home. It is very simple. It's a reason why when these families or these single households, a lot of single mothers end up on some type of government assistance program or welfare or whatever you have you, and they end up on these programs, and it's a reason why the government will literally send representatives out to these neighborhoods where these people are living to make sure that the father is not in the home, to make sure that this single parent really is a single parent. It's almost like they encourage it. You can't get your benefits unless you are a single parent. They don't want the family together. They don't want the family together. They can't control a strong family. A strong family will push back. They don't want you to believe that you need a man in the house. So they want you to keep yelling that you're a strong, independent, single woman and you're going to be that way forever. You don't need no man. They don't want. No, you do need a man. Just like a man needs a woman. I don't think that's a bad thing to say that you need a man and a man needs a woman. It's okay to need that. It's okay to need that. People are better. More stats. I could read you stats all day long that prove that people are better when they have a when women have a husband and a husband has a wife. People are better because of it. Stop letting society trick you into believing that there is some beauty in aspiring to stay single. There's some beauty in aspiring to be a strong, independent, single woman forever. There's nothing beautiful about that. That should be a last resort thing. There are women out here and men who would die to have their husband or wife back. They would literally, like, if it meant die and come back to get them back, they would do it to bring their spouse back. And then you got people out here who are celebrating the fact that they are a strong, independent, single woman who don't need no man, and especially the ones who have kids. If you don't need a man, your kids need one. Somebody needs it. I don't know if anyone will say it like the way that I'm saying it. I don't know if you've heard the way that I'm saying it, but I'm saying it. It is dumb to aspire to be that way. It is not cute. It is not cute. You should always aspire to marriage, aspire to have a family. It doesn't mean it's going to be perfect because people on the other end will say, well, people are married and they're not happy. That is very true. There are people out there who are married and they're not happy. But that is not an excuse to not go after that goal because the stats prove overwhelmingly that your chances to be set up for success, to set your kids up for success, lie in having a strong household. And for couples who are not happy, I'll say this to you. You need to first of all seek Christ, because if you're just trying to figure it out and make it work on your own accord, that's probably why you're not happy. If you're having issues, all relationships have issues, first of all. Don't believe these TV marriages and all this other stuff you see. Couples on TV are not real. Ask any couple that have been together for a long time. I mean, my wife and I used to, in the very beginning, and I've talked about this extensively before in speeches and different interviews I've given. We were not where we are today. In the beginning, we were more focused on pretending to be something that we weren't. We were spending so much time trying to pretend to everyone that we were happy that we weren't really even focused on making each other happy. People do that all the time. They're so focused on pretending to make each other happy that they never actually take the time to make sure the other person actually is happy. And that's insane to me. And then I think back on it, but at the same time, I realize that a lot of couples go through that. And a lot of couples divorce because they never take the time to really get to understand and love each other and help each other. They never do that. They never do that. My wife and I realized that that was something that we needed to do if we wanted to make our marriage work. And the way we did that is going to shock some people. And this is something I learned from my pop-pop. It wasn't that I sat down and I really tried to write out everything that I could do to make her happy, and she didn't sit down and write out everything that she needed to do to make me happy. No. We both sought the Lord. We seeked out God. We asked Him to guide our steps, to guide our thoughts, to guide our lives. Through Him, we were able to make each other happy. Through Him, we focused on Christ and making Christ happy and trusting in Christ. Through Him, we have now made each other happy. We have now helped each other. We have now been able to fulfill each other's needs. Because Christ is the head of the household, followed by the man. And I think a lot of couples forget that. If you just focus on one another, you're going to be too focused on the flesh. And the flesh is going to lead you down the wrong path all the time. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how good of a person you are. We're all sinners still. So it's not about what makes us individually just happy through our own conversations. It's about seeking Him. He will guide us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows exactly what will make my wife happy, just like He knows to tell my wife exactly what will make me happy. Seeking Him led to us actually being happy. There was a point where we didn't want to talk about our problems because we didn't want to be seen as fragile, or we didn't want people to we wanted people to think that we were perfect. We now are the opposite of that too. We realize that there's perfections in our problems. There is perfection in it. We are not afraid to say that sometimes things get tough. But that's okay. We love each other. We believe in each other. I know she's my person. I know I'm hers. We know we're equally yoked. We know we're in this for life. It's not about pride. It's not about winning arguments. It's about making sure that we are doing right by Christ. And when we do right by Him, it doesn't matter what happens, what we go through, we can get through it all. And through that, and because of that, because of my papa, because of a strong man who taught me what it is to be a man, I am, and I'm not saying this boastfully or anything. I'm saying this because I hope those who are out there who are giving up on marriage rethink that. I am as happy as I could ever be. I look forward to seeing my wife with me every single day. Marriage is beautiful, and people should aspire to it. I am a better man because of it. My wife will tell you in a heartbeat that she's a better woman because of it. So please stop listening to the liberal left. Please protect our children. Please stop confusing our children. These stop telling our young men that they're girls, or allowing them to become girls. Do you know how many girls I know who went through a tomboy phase back in the day? Imagine if society was set up back then like it is right now. Imagine. How many of the women today would not be probably technically women today, according to society, they would be boys right now because someone would have been in the ear saying it's okay to be a boy. It's okay to be a boy. No, they're not a boy. They were just a tomboy. Everybody goes through some type of phase. Except nowadays, with the phases that people are going through today, kids are getting reassignment surgeries, or they're being told that their gender is wrong and it's okay that you feel like you're another gender. They're being encouraged. Young boys are being encouraged to wear dresses and play around in makeup and all kinds of stuff. Girls are being encouraged to be boys. Like, we are literally destroying the family before the family even has a chance to form. We're telling children that there is no such thing as boy-girl gender anymore. We are the nuclear family is being destroyed before it can even form for this generation that's coming up. That is a scary, scary thought, because you already see the stats of what the nuclear family being broken apart has done to so many children. Again, 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from a fatherless home. 63% of teen suicides, 63% fatherless home. 85% of children and teens with behavioral disorders, fatherless home. That's scary. So, Pierre, what's the solution? Here's the solution. Fight back. Don't say things to appease people. Don't say things that you think people want to hear. I know a lot of people who are Democrats, right? We may not agree on a lot of things when it comes to policy. We may feel like going about all sorts of things different ways, right? You may be over here, I may be over here. I get that, but I know a lot of Democrats who keep their mouth closed who agree with me on this issue, that this is a problem. The whole that there is that, like, first of all, if you're a Christian or you're a person of faith, this shouldn't even be a conversation. Male, female. God was very clear about that. It shouldn't even be a conversation. And I do have a lot of Democrats who are Christians who say, yes, I agree with you. There is only male and there is only female. Yes, I agree with you. The nuclear family is important. I have Christians who are Democrats who say that, but they don't speak up because they don't want to offend anyone. Because the left has literally made it where if you're against anything that they say, you're a bigot, you're a horrible person, you're probably a racist, you're probably a sexist, you're probably... They just put all these labels on you because you don't agree 100% with their approach and their ideology. That's unacceptable, folks. Push back. I'm actually calling out liberals right now to push back against your party. My sane liberals, my liberals who call themselves Christians, push back, or else watch the destruction of this country. Government is not anyone's daddy. Stop letting them pretend to be. God calls for man and woman and child. Not government. Not non-binary kids and adults. Not men becoming women and women becoming men. No. He calls for man, woman, child as he made them. The time is now. Because society needs strong men.